Hello, I'm Eddie Merckx. Welcome to the VeloCast.
And welcome once again to another edition of the VeloCast. My name is Scott.
And I'm John.
Well, he may have lost the Maillot Jaune when this year's tour rolled onto French soil for the first time, but Sylvain Chavanel reclaimed the race lead today at Station de Rousse.
Quickstep must be happy with the job well done.
It was a fantastic ride, I thought, by Chavanel today. Really, really intelligent and hard as well.
Yeah, I mean, brutal weather. I mean, I think it's the first time I've ever seen a DS ride up alongside and squirt water bottles over his rider, as opposed to, you know, the classic fan at the roadside does it and gets punched for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it must have been incredibly hot.
Well, both Andy Schleck and Bradley Wiggins made mention of the brutal heat today. So, I mean, we're talking about guys here who are used to riding in 30 degree plus heat day in, day out. So for two guys like that to mention it in their interview, it must have been really, really hot.
Well, I watched an early bit of the stage, and when I got back, it was just before the final climb. And then when they went into the final climb, we had, you know, shirts open a go-go. And it's fair to say none of them would get a job with the Chippendales.
No, there's not an ounce of fat between them, is there?
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't fry a chip with a bloody fat in that peloton.
Well, I mean, I think we all wondered what Quickstep's strategy would be for this year's tour after Tom Boonen, of course, had to pull out with knee trouble. But talk about making the best of what you've got. We've had the situation where Chavanel has twice now got the yellow jersey and grabbed two stage victories. And we've also got the situation where his teammate Jérôme Pinot has increased his lead in the polka dot jersey competition.
Chavanel for ages was the classic Frenchman on a French team. You know, loads of promise, occasionally shown, but largely disappointed. The move to Quickstep seems to have just rejuvenated him, though. He's been a different rider, you know, attacking, confident, assertive. And he's on top of the lovely Eddie Merckx bikes, which, by the way, if anybody wants to send us a couple, we'll happily accept.
Oh, we certainly wouldn't send those back, no.
But Pinot today turned himself inside out, setting up the attack for Chavanel. And, you know, he delivered the goods. He's a Frenchman who's been in yellow, was robbed of it by two punctures on the stage to Arenberg, and is now back in yellow. Even if he loses it tomorrow, which, let's be honest, he's gonna. Great tour for Chavanel.
Do you think, actually, Boonen having to pull out, and of course we feel sorry for Tom Boonen there, but do you think Boonen not being at this year's tour has left the gap for people like Sylvain Chavanel to come into their own, and also for the team then to get behind him? Because I think a team like Quickstep coming into a Grand Tour, they're looking to Boonen as their first priority for the race.
Yeah, it's true, but without a general, you know, a proper GC rider, they would have given Chavanel some leeway anyway. It's interesting because there's that great rivalry between Belgian teams, and with the bag of washing away now to BMC, Omega Pharma-Lotto, you know, are they at the race?
Not very much, it doesn't look like, no.
Which I think just highlights how good Quickstep have been. I think even if they do nothing else for the rest of the tour, it's been a success for them.
Yeah. Jérôme Pinot, of course, who we mentioned a second ago, was interviewed for a French newspaper this morning and said he would attack. So it seems to have been the plan today. And I think you mentioned to me before we started recording that he was out there today working for Chavanel. That was the plan for today's stage.
Yeah, but it's a happy accident that doing that also gets you all the mountain points you need. It'll be interesting to watch if he tries to hold on to that jersey, because we said in our tour preview show that we thought it might go to a GC rider. And, you know, Pinot, he's decent enough in the medium hills that he might actually score enough points a la Jalabert if he goes in some suicide attacks in the big stages. But whatever, Quickstep have, you know, they've delivered the goods.
Well, speaking of the French and what a great tour they seem to be having, I wanted to make mention of Bbox Borja Telecom, who on the penultimate climb today really put the hammer down to set it up for Thomas Vogler, who I think at that point had ambitions to ride on and win the stage.
Oh no, Tommy wanted today's stage. You know, he was riding strongly and proudly in the French champion's colours. And you could see, although he had a high finish in the stage, he still looked really disappointed when he crossed the line. So that was the plan today. Vogler wanted today's stage. And to be honest, if Chavanel hadn't ridden his heart out, it was a day made for Vogler.
It was, yeah. And I also wanted to make mention of a futon Cervetto rider.
No,
called
don't. The strips are too ugly.
Well, the strip aside, Rafael Valls Ferri, a Spanish rider who I thought was really good. He was in that little group that got away with Thomas Vogler and Damiano Canego as well. But he took off up the roads seeking to get in touch with Chavanel. Never quite worked out for him.
It looked like he was going to get in touch at one point. I think he got down to about 39 seconds or something, and Chavanel actually looked like he was suffering. I mean, that was the point when his DS went up with the bidon to soak him. But then the elastic snapped, and oh god, I've done a Phil Liggett sound. The elastic snapped.
I think I said put the hammer down earlier on as well.
Just
so
stop it.
They're coming thick and fast here.
We'll be digging into our suitcases of courage next. but yeah, he looked like he was going to get back in touch with Chavanel, but just faded. But you can't take anything away from him. I mean, 23 years old, fantastic results.
Yeah, only turned professional last year as well.
And I mean, let's face it, you know, the huge psychological pressure of having to go fast on a bike in front of millions of people whilst wearing that bloody horrible strip. I mean, that probably cost him 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah, he could have been in the yellow jersey tonight.
He would,
but
aye. Actually, the flip side is the Fujis that they're riding are really quite attractive in a kind of Mario Cipollini, Gold Roman Emperor,
yeah,
kind of way.
Yeah. We talked yesterday about Geraint Thomas, and of course with Fabian Cancellara getting popped out of what remained of the peloton, there was a possibility that he could have ended up in yellow today. But the question we asked about whether he could climb was, I don't know, kind of answered, and that he got popped off the back on the final climb today. But he said that was due to a nutrition problem, i.e. he didn't eat enough.
It may well be, and I mean, he's looked so impressive in the first week that my thought was that he could do a Wiggins on us, you know, and really surprise us and do well up the GC, and he still might. But you know, Wiggins finished with the main group today with all the other big, you know, big favourites, and Geraint didn't. But he's had a great tour so far, so let's not take anything away from him.
No, absolutely not, and I don't think this is his year. I think he's come into some great form, but I think Geraint is one that we can watch next year, possibly 2 years away.
Or, you know, make a great career as a classics winner. The world's his oyster.
Yeah, speaking of Team Sky, Edvald Boasenhagen got dropped today, which, given the build-up that Boasenhagen's had across the early part of this year, with people like Merckx himself saying this guy could be the new Eddie Merckx, did surprise me a wee bit.
Well, I think he was talking about being a fat Belgian bicycle manufacturer as opposed to a great bicycle racer.
Also, we're expecting the line of Eddie Boasenhagen bikes to come out in the next year or so. Is that what it
actually
was?
You know me, I just love Merckx. Merckx is my single greatest hero in cycling, so let's take that facetious comment away. Boasenhagen, though, has been injured for a lot of the year. He's had great success since he came back, but he can't have the depth of form that you would expect him to have normally when he, you know, when he enters the biggest race in the world. He's done well, he's performed. He's had a wee hiccup today, but let's not take anything away from him. He's a young lad, he's just going to get better.
Well, we spoke about Wiggins and the kind of main GC contenders there, and as predicted yesterday, they just did nothing but mark each other today. What I did want to make mention of, that Lance did look comfortable, as did Contador and Cadel Evans, and I guess Wiggins as well. Radio Shack seemed to be losing a lot of riders, and nothing more than a Cat 2 climb.
No, I was surprised at Andy Clowden. You know, he's clearly not been for a holiday in Freiburg recently.
allegedly,
aye. I was disappointed too. I mean, the thing is, we've talked about how strong Radio Shack are, although, you know, they're all kicking on for their retirement pension. But it was just Leipheimer that looked really strong up there today. And Lance is going to need more than that in the high mountains. So some cracks appearing there. But all of the, I mean, all of the GC guys, including Basso and Kreuzinger, who I thought had been dropped, they were so invisible, they're still there. Tomorrow the hammer goes down, so it's, you know, it's time for a showdown.
Conversely, though, I mean, we talked at length, if not ad nauseum, about concerns over Astana and whether the team was strong enough to support.
I can't remember discussing that at all.
Oh,
I
mean, you revisionist. No, no. Oh, well, it's out there, John. Episode number, you know.
I have never tested positive.
Astana looked really strong today.
Aye, I mean, Vinokourov was there, Bert was there, essentially phoning his mum to tell him what the scenery was like. He looks easy. So, it's a completely open race. I mean, Bert's clearly a huge favourite, but it's the most unpredictable entry to the mountains I can remember for quite a while.
Mm. Well, looking ahead then to tomorrow's stage, to tomorrow's zine, I think you have to expect Andy Schleck needs to start putting some time between himself and the likes of Contador Armstrong and indeed Cadel Evans.
And every time he gets a chance, because he's going to get humped in the time trial.
Is that a technical term?
He needs to get 4 or 5 minutes by the time trial, which means every time the road tilts upwards, Andy Schleck has to take his courage in his hands and just piss off up the road. And tomorrow's the first day he's going to have to do it.
Yeah. Jakob Fuglsang, who you would think would need to be there for Schleck in the absence now, of course, of Andy's brother Frank, also got dropped today. I mean, it seems to have been a quite a hard day for a lot of people that you would expect it to be, not easy, but certainly not as difficult as the results have suggested.
I'm not quite sure how to phrase this. Is there any other possible reason that French riders are doing so well in this year's tour? let's just move right, on from
okay,
there.
In terms of, I don't know how to phrase this, I don't know how to answer that.
Well, let's not answer. Let's just let it hang there and say that there have been some surprising droppings.
Okay. Well, just speaking of, just or rather sticking with Saxo Bank.
That sounds like an owl that's eaten a giraffe, doesn't it? Oh, those are surprising droppings.
I did notice that there were some Saxo Bank riders there with Fabian Cancellara today.
Aye, in the bus.
In the bus, yeah. And essentially coasted home when they realised that the yellow jersey had gone. So, I mean, can we read anything into that, that there could be some fresher legs there in support of Andy Schleck?
No. No, they were all in the bus because they were in the bus. I mean, Vocht was there, and I mean, he's capable of digging himself a hole and working really hard for somebody. Matty Breschel, I was surprised he was with Cancellara, actually. I thought he would have been up with the front group. But, no, I think I have an inkling that this year's tour might, for a big bit of the peloton, be remarkably clean. And that can only be a good thing.
Okay. Now, I think we need to talk about the handbags at dawn antics we saw after yesterday's stage six with Spaniard Carlos Barredo and the Portuguese rider Rui Costa.
Well, I didn't actually see them because, I mean, without doing the kind of looking for sympathy thing, because I've been working 24 hours at the coalface and I just break off to podcast. When I get home, what I do is I watch the thing, and once they cross the finish line, I turn it off and we start podcasting. Yesterday, though, I wish I'd kept it running, because I've seen the videos on YouTube and stuff, and handbags at dawn, cyclists just shouldn't fight. It's pathetic.
I mean, the thing is, where in the history of anything that you could use as a weapon was the bicycle ever a decent choice? You know, pistols, broadswords, bicycle.
You may laugh. I've actually done a blog post on one of my older blogs about how to use your bicycle to defend yourself.
Well, there you go.
And the answer is you hold it up and you hit people with chain rings. I mean, that's the bottom line. But I think my favourite comment yesterday, which somebody brought up on our forum at, you know, velocast.co.uk, with Simon Lamb, our co-sponsor of the Velo Games League that we've got going. and he said that pro cyclists punch like kittens on LSD. And that pretty much sums it up. I mean, just do a Google search for cycling fights and just please wear a nappy, because you will be peeing yourself laughing within 5 minutes.
I mean, I thought it was absolutely hilarious that there was journalists and team staff leaping in to try and separate the two of them, but it was like two schoolgirls fighting in the playground.
And the pathetic thing is, what kind of person thinks, right, I'm going to have a fight, I'll need a front wheel? You know,
that's exactly it, yeah.
You know, it's mental.
Yeah.
On a more serious note, Robbie McEwen, who finished in the Autobus today, I mean, in chapeau for that great ride, was taken down by a TV journalist. So he survived the argy-bargy, Bill McLaren, Paul Sherwin trademark of the sprint, crosses the line, and a TV journalist takes him down and nearly takes him out of the Tour de France. There needs to be some organisation at the end of these stages. That was a disgrace.
It was indeed. Right, last thing I wanted to talk about today, and I've been meaning to mention this for a week now. Podium girls.
Hubba hubba.
And specifically the girls who present the stage winner for the day. What on earth do they have those poor women wearing? They look like Susie Quattro's backing singers.
No, they do. Are those the kind of black faux leather things?
Leatherette, or it looks actually all the world like rubber, for goodness sake.
No, that's just wrong. The worst ones, though, are the polka dot jerseys who seem to be wearing lampshades from IKEA. It's just wrong. Although the white jersey ones, you know, they'd get it.
They'd get it. Okay, fine. Thank you for that. And on that bombshell, I think that's all we have time for today. Thanks so much for listening and staying subscribed. You can contact us by visiting our website at www.velocast.co.uk, where you can also find out how you can donate or subscribe to the show. If you've enjoyed this show, please consider leaving a comment or review in iTunes, as this really helps with other people discovering it. Well, we hope you can join us tomorrow after the stage to Morzine for another edition of the Velocast.